With your look at traffic, I'm Joe Cardosi.
Thank you, Joe. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. Now back to Dave Cohen on WWL AM, FM, and .com.
9 minutes after 7 a.m. and for Tommy Tucker on this day before Friday, Friday Eve, I like to call it. I've got that crash on the Bonnie Carey Spillway in the camera here in the studio, and they've got two of the vehicles removed. Just one of the wrecked vehicles remains, but they've got the right lane blocked. Apparently, it started as a stalled vehicle, then led to a three-vehicle crash. About 2 miles of delay. Might want to take airline around, but who knows when they'll have it cleared. All right, it's National Tell an Old Joke Day. Do you hear I have three knees? One person texts us on the Oakenheart Jewelers talking text line.
Three knees.
The left knee, the right knee, and the weenie. Joe, tell us an old joke.
Oh, Lord, let me think of one.
Well, I give you half an hour to think of one.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I've been doing other stuff, too, though.
Ian, tell us an old joke.
A limping dog walks into an Old West saloon. He says, "I'm looking for the man who shot my paw."
Joe, we'll get one from you in half an hour.
Yeah,
okay.
Where do polar bears keep their money?
Where do polar bears keep their money?
In snowbank.
Hey.
All right, it's National Tell an Old Joke.
Stop me if you heard this one.
Oh, Coleman has a joke.
All right, so a guy walks into a bar and says, "Ouch."
I didn't know if you were going there. If you didn't, I was going to tell that one next. All right. It's Tell an Old Joke Day, so text us, 504-260-1870. No joke on this beef price thing. The price of steak has gone up, what, 13% in the 12%, pardon me, in the last month. The price of ground beef has gone up $1 since May. It really sounds like beef may become a luxury item going forward, and you just heard the ag commissioner. There is no end in sight to the skyrocketing prices of beef. So you guys might want to either save up for that steak dinner or take out a loan.
Or we have to move to a cheaper location.
Keeps it coming. Look at that.
Yeah, this is utterly ridiculous.
Hey!
All right, let's not milk this too much. All right, we're moving on.
We should move on.
Yes, thank you very much. Coming up next, we'll stay with the fun. The Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo starts today. We're going to talk to the president of the Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo. Honestly, I've never been, but I've seen pictures and videos, and it looks like an amazingly good time. So we'll find out how much of it is fishing and how much of it is just good fun. Or bad fun, as the case may be, after this on WWL. Several text messages say it is better to take Airline Highway now to get around the wreck in the middle of the Bonnie Carey Spillway from LaPlace to Kenner. So you may save some time. That way, there's about 2 miles of delay. There was a broken down vehicle. Two other cars crashed as a result of that, and we had a three-car crash right in the middle of the bridge. So if you have to make your way in from LaPlace to Kenner, text messages are saying that you'll get there faster taking Airline. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. It is National Tell an Old Joke Day, so folks have been texting us jokes all morning. One person says, "Do you know why 6 is afraid of 7? Because 7, 8, 9. Thank you for that one. We'll read more of them coming up as time allows, but right now we got to go to the live line and welcome in Jason Bergeron, the Terrebonne Parish president, and more importantly right now, president of the Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo. Good morning, Jason. How you doing?
Good morning, sir. I'm doing good.
Are you tired yet? Getting ready for the Tarpon Rodeo?
No, been charging my batteries and getting ready to make it happen for a long weekend and an exciting event. So we're ready to get it going.
This is the oldest fishing tournament in the nation?
I've heard the oldest fishing rodeo in the world. Actually.
In the world, okay.
Nation, world, you know, I think it's around its 97th year. So, yeah, it's pretty impressive to be asked to believe such a great event.
So I have honestly, and I don't know how this happened, I've never been to the Tarpon Rodeo. I've been here 28 plus years now, but I've seen pictures and I've seen videos, and some of them are pretty wild. I know there's a lot of fishing that goes on, particularly during the day, but there's a whole lot of fun that goes on as well. What would you say the ratio of fishing to fun is?
I could say it's almost 50-50 because that's one thing I love about what we do, and especially South Louisiana, is we like to throw a party, we like to have a good time, and usually we'll put it around a good cause. So it usually raises money for something and benefits somebody.
So for someone like myself who has maybe never been, sell me on it. Why should I come down to the Tarpon Rodeo starting today in Grand Isle?
Well, it's the Grand Isle experience, right? I mean, just at the end of the day, you got everything from the beach to restaurants to if you want to do some fishing. And then we also have the crab races for the kids. So those happen every day where the kids will bring their crabs and they you know, it's almost like horse racing with crabs, I guess you could say, where they try to get out of the circle.
Wait. Kids bring crabs. Their crabs, so they have to go catch the crab and then bring it to the race?
Bring it to the race. They soak them in Coca-Cola. They soak them in Red Bull. They do all the little tricks to help make sure their crabs are the fastest. And it's about the first crab to get outside the circle, and they win prizes.
Soak them in
and then
Red
from
Bull.
There, we got crafts, we got food, we got music. It's really just a big three-day event.
All right, and it all starts today. And it's, you said it's the oldest fishing rodeo in the world, going on for 97 years now. So the competition is pretty fierce, isn't it, to catch? And there's a variety of different categories of how you can win one of those competitions, right?
Yes, sir. It's fishers of all shapes and sizes. And when you look at, you know, if you don't, you can go inshore, you go offshore. Plenty of opportunities to win the awards. And of course, you know, everybody going after the tarpon, right? So it's a great event. Again, you got Bob Breck, former meteorologist. He's going to be our MC. We got Shorts in December tonight. We have Ryan Foray tomorrow night. And we got Noctmoon and Wamatu's on Saturday night. And again, just, you know, all kind of Cajun food, crafts, you know, it's just sort of overall great event.
And so for even folks who aren't fishing, and of course the competition is fierce amongst them, and they're having a great time going out there and doing that inshore, offshore, wherever they're doing it, but really all day long and all night long, there's really something for everyone to do at the Grand Isle at the rodeo.
Yes, sir.
So at the Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo, I have seen some, not only the organized activities, a lot of fun, but just a lot of the things that people do that they bring to the rodeo and the surrounding can be kind of wild. I remember seeing a video of someone who made a hot tub in the bed of their pickup truck and riding around with all these folks in the pickup truck in various states of dress and various states of sobriety, having a great time riding around just because it draws such huge crowds. And there's all kinds of stuff like that. I guess the people watching is really amazing all day and all night as well.
It is. And you know, a lot of that, when you look at Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo, has what it used to be versus what it's become. Again, really trying to work center around that family experience. Bring your family down, go to the beach, just come hang out, listen to the music, and really, you know, at the end of the day, this does benefit Grand Isle students and scholarships for graduating seniors. So it is for a great cause, and again, just to celebrate the Grand Isle experience in itself is just, it's a great time.
Talking with the president of the Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo and president of Terrebonne Parish, Jason Bergeron. When we come back, I want to ask him, how is the coast doing? How is Grand Isle doing? Is it healthy? Has it recovered from storm after storm after storm in recent years? And what does the future look like for Grand Isle and for the coast across Terrebonne Parish as well? We'll talk about that after we check on WWL traffic. The Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo getting underway today. You've been hearing about all the great things going on, from fishing to fun, family events, and everything else, helping raise money for the school's children in Grand Isle. And we're talking with the president of the Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo, Jason Bergeron, also the Terrebonne Parish president. Jason, how's Grand Isle doing? And we know it's taken a beating year after year, it feels like, storm after storm. And there's been a lot of efforts to try and fix what has been, you know, left in shambles from time to time. How is Grand Isle doing overall?
Yeah, I definitely think it's coming back. You know, when you look at when Ida hit, I mean, it was crazy to see how much the line is when a storm hits of what's affected versus what's not affected. And a lot of times, if Grand Isle is getting it, Terrebonne Parish is getting it, and vice versa. And we're still recovering from Ida 4 years after the storm. And I know everybody, you know, in New Orleans can understand from Katrina about how long it took to recover, and that, you know, some people would be even dealing with those effects today. So, you know, we're all coming back as a region, and we're working to, you know, get things repaired still to this day. And when you look at, you know, not only the coastal protection and the hurricane restoration, how those two mend together, it's just so important that we're working on both at the same time. making sure we're prepared for the next one.
So folks who come down for the rodeo will see clear signs of the recovery still underway from Ida and previous storms, but everything's on the right track. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, yes, sir. I mean, you can see a lot of camps rebuilt and you know, again, they were doing the process of still doing some beach restoration and buildup of stuff that was washed out. But definitely, you know, every day our region makes progress into not looking like this hurricane hit, a strong, you know, hurricane like Ida hit 4 years ago. But even in both places, you'll see things here and there that still show. And again, that's us working with FEMA to get the funding to try to get some of these things built and finished 4 years after the storm. But definitely on the great road of recovery.
How's the coast in Terrebonne and, of course, in Grand Isle doing overall in the efforts to restore, rebuild, and better protect the coast? How do you think, in general, that effort's been going and where we at in the progression of more emphasis on repairing and preserving our coastline?
We've definitely turned in the right direction. You know, when a storm comes through, it has such an impact on how much land loss happens at a faster rate. But if you look at the work we did, especially in Terrebonne Parish, you know, our residents taxed themselves. We built a levee system. That levee system for Francine alone, we're estimating, I got a letter from the state even saying that we saved FEMA about $1.7 billion. So every dollar invested in the coast definitely has a return on that investment of saving, you know, communities, saving property, saving lives. It definitely makes a difference. And in Terrebonne Parish, we're kind of halfway there because we have, you know, we need our levees up to around 15 foot for Francine. I'm sorry, for Ida and Lafourche, the debris line was at 18 foot. For Francine, the water bumped up right to the top of the levee in Montague at around 10, 11 foot. So we still got work to do. I would say we're probably halfway there and we're going to get it done. But every day we make strides and making sure our residents are protected.
Jason Bergeron, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Have a great time. Congratulations on being the president of the Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo. And go find that elusive tarpon for us, would you?
Yes, sir. Have a good one. And thanks for sharing. And look forward to seeing everybody down there in Grand Isle.
All right. Have a great weekend. Looks like you'll get some on and off rain, but at least it won't be stupid hot until the weekend. You got a couple of good days here before then, as long as you can avoid those heavy showers. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Tommy Tucker here on WWL. It's National Tell an Old Joke Day. One person texts us, says a grasshopper walks into a bar. The bartender says, "Hey, we've got a drink named after you." And the grasshopper replies, "You've got a drink named Frank?" Thank you. International Tell an Old Joke Day. Keep the text coming. Not a joke is the situation on the Bonnie Carey Spillway, but some good news. It looks like they've got the injured driver of the last vehicle loaded up in the ambulance now, and they're getting ready to get that ambulance off of the I-10 halfway across between LaPlace and Kenner. And hopefully once they move that ambulance, they can then move that car and they can get the five other police cars and two other fire trucks out of there, and maybe traffic will improve going from LaPlace to Kenner. Coming up next half hour, we're going to check in with WWL Steve Geller, our sports director, to find out about Saints training camp. You've been hearing the reports that at least in the first practice of training camp, it was Spencer Rattler who looked really good at quarterback and Tyler Shuck looking really like a rookie. But it was day one. Isn't that what you'd expect since Rattler's played and started NFL games and Shuck hasn't? But we'll find out from Steve after we check on WWL First News.
With your look at traffic, I'm Joe Cardosi.
Thank you, Joe. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. Now back to Dave Cohen on WWL AM/FM and .com.
In for Tommy Tucker on this day before Friday at 7:39 a.m. on this 24th of July, 2025. I am watching the video of the wreck on the Bonnie Carey Spillway, and there are four police cars still on the scene and one wrecked vehicle. The other two wrecked vehicles have been removed. The fire trucks and ambulances have all left. So hopefully, maybe they get that right lane open soon after they get that last car out of there. It's National Tell an Old Joke Day. Someone texts us on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line. How can you tell when someone's eyes are angry?
How?
They lash out.
Oh.
All right. Most of these jokes are not good, folks, and I admit that. But sometimes dad jokes, bad jokes, which seem to go hand in hand and rhyme, are one and the same, and sometimes you get a laugh out of a bad joke. Not laughing yesterday at this false report that went viral locally alleging that the sheriff in Orleans Parish had been removed from her own jail by federal authorities. If you were listening earlier, I had an LSU journalism professor on who told us that the overall number of journalists in America has dropped by 75%. There are a quarter as many journalists doing actual journalism in the U.S. now compared to just a few years ago. The rate of decline has been dramatic. And I think what we saw yesterday is evidence of dwindling numbers of journalists gathering news and, more importantly, researching and confirming news.
I think in this one particular case, and I won't mention the TV station.
No, we can't. It was WDSU.
Okay, so it was WDSU. So
put
we'll
out
say
a
that.
False report.
They have.
And it went viral. And even the district attorney was issuing statements about this false viral report without confirming its accuracy.
And that brings another point. In DSU's case, they have staffing and personnel. That's a case of making a phone call or driving down to the jail to find out what happened. They didn't do that. They went with the source, which is mistake number one. They should have confirmed and verified the source before running with it. That apparently didn't happen. On the flip side of that, you have a district attorney who's running with this report that is seemingly official.
Who has endorsed another candidate in the race.
And now has egg on his face. But that's a broader look at what we as consumers do. We'll post something, we'll share it without verifying it's true, and then rumors start spreading and people believe something that's not the case. So it's twofold. We as news consumers have to do a better job of verifying what we're reading, but also those of us who do the news have to do a better job of confirming and verifying sources before we run with their information.
Well, for folks who listen to WWL, and I've been the news director here for 25 years, I was the news director at a couple of other stations before coming here, and I have always valued accuracy over immediacy.
Yes.
And I think that pressure on local news organizations has grown to really dangerous levels now, where they always want to be the first to put it out on social media, the first to push alert, the first to send you what they consider or want you to believe is breaking news. And with fewer and fewer people doing the work and the demands, perceived at least, to be first with everything, getting to a point where a source lies. This is a case of a source, and they said multiple sources on their web report. Multiple sources apparently flat out lied to or were told bad information and passed on those lies to WDSU, that they put it out there without verification, without confirmation, and set off a domino of effects, and to a point where now it's just embarrassing. And you can't do that. And it's partially the consumer's fault. It's partially WDSU's fault. It's partially the fault of the climate in which we live. But it's unacceptable.
I know journalists who've been fired for less. This is something in every newsroom I've worked in would be a fireable offense for a producer, the reporter, whoever. I'm interested to see how that plays out internally over there.
Yeah. If we're going to go with a report we can't confirm, we're at least going to have to name the source so we can tell us who is alleging this information. Going with unconfirmed reports from unnamed sources that are absolutely 100% false and wrong is irresponsible. I'm Dave Cohen. Coming up next, we're going to talk about a new survey on how Americans describe their employment situation. But first, we're going to get Steve Geller in here to talk about Saints training camp on WWL. 7:48, Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker and Saints training camp. First practice in the books. Steve Geller, WWL sports director and host of Sports Talk on WWL, getting up early for us this morning. Hey, Steve.
How's it going, Dave?
It's going all right. I heard things at camp yesterday, multiple reports saying that Tyler Shuck looked like a rookie, but Spencer Rattler looked like a veteran. And I guess that's not surprising for at least the first practice in an NFL uniform for Shuck. And for Spencer, he started, what, six games last year?
Yeah, I was, though, surprised because it was definitely the worst session I've seen from Shuck going all the way back to rookie mini camp, OTAs, and then, you know, mandatory mini camp for this team. Coming up the first day of training camp, Tyler Shuck definitely had a rough go. We saw probably would have been sacked twice. There was definitely one time he even slipped and fell at the line taking a snap. Had a few misses. Some balls weren't pretty that he was thrown. There weren't a ton of reps yesterday in a shortened session, but Spencer Rattler, who ran with the first team offense, definitely looked much sharper and on point, ready to go compared to the rookie Tyler Shuck. But the head coach Kellen Moore explained to us too after practice that these reps with the first team are going to be divvied up all throughout camp as they try to figure out who's going to be this starting quarterback. So today is Tyler Shuck's day. The rookie will get his chance to redeem himself as he gets to run with the first team.
All right. Well, so maybe it was just a bad day. Everyone has a bad day at work every now and then.
Right.
And maybe it's because he was with the backups. Maybe today with the first teamers, he'll do better. I guess we'll have to wait and see. How much should we read into what we saw yesterday? And how much are you looking forward to seeing today to kind of give us a clearer picture of things?
Yeah, I was really surprised yesterday. One, from the weather, we got a break thanks to the cloud cover. Was a blessing to be out there and not being pummeled by the sun. But it was a shortened session as well, and that was another thing that Coach Moore said, this ramp-up period as we get ready for pads on Monday, that to expect yesterday's session as well as today's session to be a little shorter than usual that we're going to see during training camp. They still got some decent work in, and, you know, seeing Spencer Rattler, he's definitely had that eye of the tiger about him, that focus. He carries himself with that swagger. And it's been really, really interesting to see that on the field. Right now, you know, it's we know this race is going to be ongoing into the preseason games. But if you got to pick a starter right now, it's going to be Spencer.
That may surprise some folks. Steve Geller on the live line with us. When we come back, I'll ask him how much different is training camp now versus how it was under the other Saints coaches where Steve got to see training camp. We'll talk about that and some of the other position battles for you after we check on WWL traffic. Joe, looks like they got that last wrecked vehicle up on the tow truck on the spillway. 4 in front of 8, Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. Steve Geller is heading out to Saints training camp for practice number 2 today. Yesterday, it was Spencer Rattler who looked like the better of the quarterbacks. How different is practice being handled now versus the last two coaches that you got to see run Saints training camp?
Yeah, the two things that stood out to me yesterday was definitely the tempo of how they get in and out to the next drill seems to be a lot quicker. So it's a lot more up-tempo, quickly moving on to the next thing they've got to accomplish. And then just a little difference of where certain position groups are working out on the side of the field. Typically, the defensive linemen and offensive linemen were way towards the end of an end zone where we really didn't get to see much. Yesterday, it was amazing to see like the O-linemen, you know, taking, you know, snaps together right in front of us. So that's a little bit of differences there. But other than that, yeah, we're waiting now just till Monday, really, till we get in full pads to get that really, you know, the action starts popping then.
All right, and we talked about the quarterback battle. You think Rattler right now has the upper hand. We'll see if that changes today with Shuck getting to take snaps with the first team. What other position battle would you say is the number 2 most important you're watching?
Well, after looking at the roster yesterday and seeing the guys out there, I got really concerned with the tight end position, Dave, because we know that Taysom Hill, Foster Moreau are starting right now on the physically unable to perform list. Then you had a young guy in Dalen Holker that retired. That's 3 bodies down right there. So Juwan Johnson, you have as your main guy. God forbid anything happens to him, because behind him, there's just a lot of guys that are not familiar with this team, that either veteran guys that have been elsewhere or young guys trying to make a name on this roster. They brought in a defensive end and also a safety after the retirement of Tyrann Mathieu. I wouldn't be surprised if this team goes out on the free agent market and tries to bring in a veteran tight end presence, just because, like I said, the depth there just really is lacking to me.
All right. We'll be listening to you and all the guys on Sports Talk today at 4 o'clock to hear how today's practice went and how that quarterback battle is shaping up. Meanwhile, Steve, it is National Tell an Old Joke Day. You got an old joke for us?
Man, I've been waiting for this moment. My kiddo won Father's Day, gave me a stack of dad jokes that I have on my desk. So I pulled off the first card for you guys, and it says, "What do you call a pony with a sore throat?"
Someone else just texted this one in. What do you call a pony with a sore throat?
A little horse.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you for that, Steve. Have a great day out of training camp. Hopefully you stay dry and you stay cool and everything works out. We'll be looking forward to hearing y'all on Sports Talk tonight at 4.
Thanks, Dave. Who dat?
Who dat indeed. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. How do you feel about your job security and your current employment situation? Bankrate is out with a new report on how people feel about their job security. We'll check in with Mark Hamrick to get you the details on that coming up after the news. All of the emergency vehicles headed from LaPlace to Kenner over the Bonnie Carey Spillway have now left the scene. All lanes are open, and hopefully those delays will be working themselves out sooner than later. So if you got to cross from LaPlace to Kenner, might want to stick with I-10 now instead of Airline, as that wreck is finally gone. More jokes as well coming up.